Call to order, Prochaska County Council, June 9, 2015, meeting, 6:30 p.m., County Council Chambers. Please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Please join in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Please call the roll. Here.
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 Thank you, Madam Clerk. I have approval minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes of the meeting of May 26, 2015?
Motion to approve is distributed.
Second.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The minutes are hereby approved. Do we have any announcements tonight? Councilmember Smiley and Councilmember Weiner.
Yes, Mr. President. At the appropriate time, I will be moving the table 15-057. 15-025 will be kept on the table. However, we have received a communication from the Ethics Commission, but it was not in time to have it placed on the executive agenda for discussion, so that will be coming off the table for vote on June 23rd.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Councilmember Weiner?
Yes, Mr. President, at the appropriate time, I have a resolution to present.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Weiner. Any other announcements from Council? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please proceed with the introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 15059, amend the grants budget to appropriate $265,000 in federal funding from the Department of Homeland Security Federal Emergency Management Agency FEMA, $440,834 in local funding from Newcastle County, and $41,864 in private funding from the Public Service Enterprise Group, PSEG, nuclear fund to the operation of the Office of Emergency Management, OEM, for FY 2016. Ordinance 15060, amend the annual FY 2016 operating budget, reduce the FY 2016 appropriation to the Department of Public Safety, Office of Emergency Management, by $440,834 to provide the annual county match for the Office of Emergency Management grant for FY 2016. Ordinance 15061, amend the grants budget to appropriate $502,000 to the contracted police duty revolving fund for the Department of Public Safety. Ordinance 15062, amend the grants budget to appropriate an additional $72,000 in federal funding to the Department of Homeland Security Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, to the Emergency Management FY 2015 grant. Ordinance 15063, to amend the rates of pay for unclassified employees of County Council and to revise the FY 16 approved operating to appropriate $19,100 to County Council for salaries and wages. Ordinance 15064, amend the capital budget to appropriate $52,653 from the clerk of the Peace Technology Fee account for the Cloud View Project Unmanned Aerial Vehicle, UAV. Ordinance 15065, appropriate $330,000 from the Garston Trust portfolio to the Garston Trust Fund in order to provide funding for park maintenance in fiscal year 2016 to be administered by the Department of Special Services.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. These ordinances will be voted on at the next meeting, which is on June the 23rd, unless they are referred to a particular board or commission, whereby they will be voted on at a later date. We now have committee reports, starting with the Finance Committee. Councilmember Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, we met at 1:30 on the 8th floor in the Administrative Finance Committee. We had, at the approval of minutes, no resolutions. We had one ordinance, which was put on the table, which will, when it comes off the table, basically amend Newcastle County Code regarding fiscal amendments, proposed ordinance, and resolutions under Councilman Smiley's sponsorship. We approved several council grants. We had a very short discussion, which we'll revisit in the future on the sewer fund financial statement regarding the capital recovery fee line. We had no discussion on the expense and revenue roundtable. We also had, under other as well, a pretty interesting discussion about the county's tax penalty fee structure as applies to late school payments, where we may be, you know, excess of what's necessary to impose a penalty, and we had no public comment and we adjourned the meeting.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Smiley, did you add anything?
No, sir. Thank you.
Land use, Councilmember Rutter.
Thank you. We had a short meeting today. We had one item on there. It was a name change up in Darley Green. And with that, I talked to George Haggerty, and it was about items like this that came up. It actually came up last week, and we had cancellations of the regular workshop meetings, which was special services and land use, and we put it on the meeting today in between the different meetings that we had. We didn't have much on the agenda, so we put it on there. And we're going to do that in the future also. If we only have one item come through land use and it's not controversial or anything, we're going to move it to the following council meeting and put it in there. If we can squeeze it in there someplace, if not, we'll have it on the next land use meeting.
Thank you, Councilman. Public Safety, Mr. Street.
Yes, Mr. President. Public Safety Committee met today, and we had discussion on two ordinances which are on the night's agenda, and other ordinances that will be voted on June 23rd. We had an update, an overview rather, of Fusion Center at the Public Safety Building. We had an update on the Sparrow Run operation, and the meeting was adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Street. And Councilman Powers has joined us. Executive, we met today. Basically, we heard one presentation and we had discussion around the Port of Wilmington. And secondly, we had a presentation and discussion around SB 13, which is a bill in the Judiciary Committee and the Senate Dover expanding protections for domestic abuse victims. President Pro Tem, do you have anything to add?
No, thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent calendar. Any member of council or the public may remove an item from the consent calendar for further discussion by simple request. The item is not removed, it will not be subject to amendment, discussion, or other objection, and will be voted upon as a package. Consent calendar items are noted on the agendas as such, and they are available in the back of this room as well as online. Is there anyone from council or the public who wishes to have an item removed at this time? Councilman McCarty.
Yes, I'd like to have resolution 15-013 removed from the consent calendar and placed on later in the agenda.
Thank you, Councilman. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
The House have it. Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 15099, honoring Kristen Cardamon for the extraordinary accomplishment of having perfect attendance for 13 years. Resolution 15100, honoring the League of Women Voters on their 95th anniversary. Resolution 15101, congratulating Andrea Smith on her retirement from Newcastle County and thanking her for 37 years of dedicated service. Resolution 15102, honoring and celebrating New Mount Bethel Baptist Church for 100 years of service, 1914
to 2015. Resolution 15. Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on consent calendar.
Mr. Ball, Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Barr?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President Bullock, 5 yes, 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Do we have any presentations tonight?
Yes, Mr. President.
We have two, one from Councilmember Tackett and Councilmember Weiner. Please come, Mr. Tackett.
Mr. President, I'll have you join me. Quickly, if you and your family would come down. Thank you.
usually get pictures afterwards, but he's ready to roll.
You had it exactly the way I wanted.
Most of you probably remember in the newspaper and also on Action News, Kristen was honored for 13 years of perfect attendance. Attending school, which was a major accomplishment, I guess probably why it captured such attention, you know, locally. Tomorrow she'll be headed down to Dover as the Senate and the House will also be presenting her with proclamations on their behalf. So I asked our council president, Chris Bullock, to join me tonight, and earlier this evening, County Executive Tom Gordon presented her with a proclamation outside in the lobby. So what we have tonight here, we'll have maybe Kristen maybe give, maybe 10, 15 minutes talk on maybe her mom will talk about how she's proud of her. But tonight, for Kristen, she attended 12th grade without missing a single day. She faced many challenges with everyone else, but was never distracted. But never distracted her from getting to school each and every day. In addition to, or maybe because of her perfect attendance, she has received numerous honors for her academic work. She also teaches Sunday school in her church and has been working a day-to-day care for the last 2 years. Kristen is an excellent example of a person with great character, high standards, and amazing work ethics. So this evening we recognize Kristen Carneman for her work and for her remarkable accomplishments in achieving 13 years of perfect attendance from kindergarten through 12th grade. Kristen, thank you. And I will add that her family has four daughters in it, and I share that four daughters, so we've learned to deal with a lot of drama in the house at any given time for anything. Kristen, what do you think the driving factors were?
Well, I have learned this ability, so it was really hard to, I guess, go to school and do normal school things, but I kept going because it was more important to me than, like, sitting home watching TV just because, like a lot of people do. I can't just do that anymore. And, like, if I missed a day of school or was late or something, it would be really hard for me to, like, make up or get back into, like, the swing of the classroom. And it would just be difficult. So I just, like, always did everything that I needed to do because I knew it was going to be better for me in the long run.
And the council president would say, your best. Yeah, you want to talk a little bit, just quickly, about what you received in your church?
I received
the Mark Luther Better's award because the pastor had lost his son in automobile accident. So every year they honor someone in the church, and this year Kristen was the one that received the scholarship. So
the Christian character award. Because of all the stuff that I do, like with the church, either being a Sunday school teacher since I was in middle school, and continuing that because I want to be a teacher really bad. And I've always done like other events, and I help with Special Olympics. I love those with disabilities because I have one, even though it's minor compared to some of those. And so I have a buddy who is 4, and she's down somewhere, and I just adore her because she's awesome. and I just do like normal little events with her, and even though it feels like it's babysitting, it's still a lot of fun because like she doesn't know any different, and I just want to continue working with those with special needs because I know it's hard and they'll eventually be able to do what they want and continue their education the best they can.
Well, we admire you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Congratulations.
That's probably the hardest thing.
Mr. President, members of the council, I'd like to call forward the following members of the League of Women Voters: Emily White, League President of New Mesville County; Peggy Schultz, who's ever present here to keep our land use committee on track; and Letty Diswood, who was a neighbor of mine, a fellow CCOBH member from years back, and also the administrator for League of Women Voters. I'd like to, without reading the resolution, talk a little bit about the special place that League of Women Voters performs in our community. We all know their role, as the name says, as an organization that helps to distribute information about candidates and to make sure that elections are fair and that the generations of voters understand the structure of government and their responsibilities. League of Women Voters has grown in its mission in many ways since it was founded 95 years ago. And now, as we know, we have our guardian angel here all the time to make sure that we are always fulfilling our responsibilities as smart growth advocates and new urbanists, as well as making sure that affordable housing and transit orientation and walkability are considered in all aspects of development. And we thank you for loaning us Peggy Schultz, because she does a great job.
Absolutely.
Emily, I know you are the League of Women Voters Newcastle County President.
Correct.
And in that role, you have responsibilities. There's also a southern chapter in the state as well, and they know that you just now have a new president.
Yes, and that's for the entire state.
I see.
The League of Women Voters of Delaware, and they've voted a new person.
Right. And Letty, how many years have you been administrator for League of Women Voters?
Well, since my son was 2 years old, two and a half, three. He's 34, I think now.
So I'm doing the math real quickly, but you're only 22. So well, any of it, now that's my abbreviated presentation. And if we could all gather together for a photo op, just come closer. I'll let me let you hold this, and I'll just sort of stand in the back.
And also libraries.
Yes.
Good libraries.
And good libraries, too.
Not forget schools.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I appreciate your recognizing the 95th birthday. And all of this activity here tonight is an example of democracy in the United States.
And thank you for your advocacy for democracy.
Let's give all of our recipients another big hand. We honor tonight. Consideration of resolutions removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. R15-104. 1, 2, 3 first. Okay. We'll do. Is it 103 or 105? 103. Resolution number 15-103. Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. I've got resolution 15-03 read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second. Resolution 15-103 honoring the life of Joseph R. Bill Biden III.
Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know that this resolution is supported by all members of council, and we have witnessed a real tragedy in Delaware. One of the leading political lights of this state, the former Attorney General Joe Biden, passed tragically and too soon, long before his time is due. But he, as we all know, he's the eldest son of our Vice President Joe Biden, and we all witnessed his laying to rest this Saturday in the Bloomington community. I wanted to put this resolution together to summarize some of the life accomplishments of Joe Biden, which were significant. One of the items that I think bears mention in the public record, when he was Attorney General, and we know this story very well. We are a land use government, and we work with housing. in the depths of the mortgage foreclosure crisis, when our sheriff's office was handling month after month after month record sheriff sales, the Attorney General at that time, Beau Biden, under his leadership, introduced a mortgage mediation program that saved hundreds and hundreds of Newcastle County residents the agony of foreclosure and losing their homes. And I think among his other achievements, is stands as a great public legacy for the public of Newcastle County. And I bring this resolution forward for a vote with a deeply saddened and for all Delawareans, it was a real loss. In the few times that I met Attorney General Biden, he struck me as a sincerely humble man and a person deeply concerned about his fellow human being, and lived that through his pursuit of public service for the people of Delaware.
Thank you, Councilman. Any comments or questions from Council? Public comment. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call.
Mr. Ball? Mr. Ball?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Zella?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President of all car bills, 12 yes, 1 absent.
R15-103 is approved. R15-104, Mr. Street.
Yes, Mr. President. I move the Resolution 15-104 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Resolution 15104, supporting the expansion of the Port of Wilmington to include a facility on the Delaware River.
Mr. Street.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm not going to go into great detail. I think we had a lengthy discussion about this during the Executive Committee meeting. But the things that I think are critical in my mind, I have said publicly for the last several years that basically the port is the primary remaining infrastructure in the city of Wilmington. And in my view, as the port goes, the city is going to go. And the proposed expansion can be nothing but an asset to the city of Wilmington, to Newcastle County, to the state of government, because of the jobs that will be created not only at the port, but will be created outside the port in those industries and trades that are going to, after stuff comes in or is going out, going to have to get it to where it's designated place across the country. So rather than going into the kind of detail that we've already had, I just think it's important for the long-term well-being of our city, county, and state.
Thank you, Mr. Street. Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you for your time. As it's a well-known matter of record, I don't vote on issues, resolutions, asking other government bodies to take actions on things. But one has to evaluate each piece of legislation on its own merits and on their past history. So I find myself torn with this piece of legislation. I've been reading it over and over. Quite honestly, I wish it was as generic as the one the city council voted on, but it's not. It has a little more into it. That being said, I interacted for over 27 years with the gentleman from the ILA that spoke upstairs today. And I know how much they believe in this project. But beyond that, I know that they could never bring themselves to take any action that would harm those that they currently represent at the existing Port of Wilmington, where I had the pleasure of serving for that length of time. And as I pondered this, I remembered the days back in the early 80s when I was charged with leading a very lengthy national car haul strike at the Port of Wilmington, and the support that I got from these very people in this very organization. And because of that, a lot of people were allowed to retire from the Port of Wilmington. I'm not sure we would have been successful without their support. And I'm sure that my support or non-support is not going to make or break this issue here. But dwelling back on my past history with this organization and its officers, I feel it's only right, although I don't believe in quid pro quo, I think it's the right thing for me to give my support to this resolution this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Councilmember Cartier and Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Yes, I'm going to support this resolution calling for the expansion of port activities on the Delaware River. The resolution does speak to a specific site. There are alternative sites. I have one in my district that could serve as well. I just want to reflect on one of the things that was said by a member of the public at the meeting about finding a big idea to drive Delaware's economy forward. I mean, given the absolute competitive advantage of the Delaware coastline, with other ports far, much farther north in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, it would really be a gigantic failure if we weren't to enact some kind of port expansion on the Delaware River on the Delaware Sea Coast. And I'm going to support this. I'm going to continue to support any type of measure we can bring forward to increase living wage employment in this county, and if this site doesn't prove to work out, we have others. Or, to put it another way, let's have three. So, whatever it takes, we've got to take advantage of this situation in this historical moment, so I'm glad to be able to support this resolution tonight.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Upstairs, I know that I gave you several reasons as to why I would not be supporting this. I have looked at this, I've read this, even though I agree with Councilman Smiley that I wish it were a little more generic. I'm going to give this the benefit of the doubt tonight, and I will support this. I do, however, hope that whoever is leading this and whatever groups they're bringing together, I hope that they start going through the process. To just ask for money for an assessment of land is not enough. We can have the most pristine land in the world, but unless you start going through the process and start talking to Denrick and talking to the Corps of Engineers and starting to understand what you need to go through to get this moving, we are then just throwing $500,000 away. So I will support this on a generic basis tonight because I do understand that if something, I very much support the enhancement of the Port of Wilmington. I think that that's where the money ideally should be going. But if you are going to look at expanding this, there's so much more that needs to go into this than just asking for an assessment of the land. That I certainly hope that the groups working on this take that into consideration and start earlier rather than later, because anything that you do to go through the Corps of Engineers or a federal permit is probably 6 to 7 years out. And without Denrick's approval, you don't even get to that step.
Thank you, Councilmember Weather.
Thank you, Mr. President. Jay, can you put me down as a co-sponsor?
Absolutely, Councilman.
With that, I'd like to say, I, from when this came up over a year ago now, I've been in all the meetings just about, maybe a couple I couldn't make, but at most of the meetings. And this is, if this thing goes the way it should go, and I know Councilwoman Kilpatrick has some valid points about DENREC and Army Corps and all that, but there's some people that that look to be involved in this that have a little more insight of these different organizations that have to do the work than we do, because these people have ports that they support and that are running some of them. And these are the ones that are going to be involved. With that, you know, there's so much. It's this picture that nobody can really fathom on how big this could be. Because if everything goes all right, this will be over a 2-mile long port. Be one of the biggest in the East Coast. And with that, we probably can expand up to where Councilman Cartier is talking about. So, you know, I'm in wholeheartedly in support of this. I think Jay knows I've been in support of this from the get-go, and I'm not going to waver on this. I'm going to stand behind it all the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Powers.
Yes, I would like to be a co-sponsor on that too.
Please.
And I just think it would help all the way around with jobs in the state, and it will affect agriculture, and it's a plus all the way around.
Thank you, Councilmember Powers. Any more comments or questions from council? Public comment. Is there no Madam Clerk, please call.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call is 12 yes and 1 absent.
R15-104 is approved. R15-105, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Like R15-105, read by title only, placed before the council for its consideration.
Second. Resolution 15-105 to rename the street reported as 851 Manor Avenue North to 700-772 Daly Green Drive. To name an unnamed accessway in the reserve at Daly Green Apartments to Light Horse Way, and to name an unnamed accessway in the reserve at Daly Green Apartments to Historical Way, northerly side of Philadelphia Pike, southwesterly side of Daly Road, Claymont, Delaware.
Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. President. This street renaming resolution and naming goes to the Reserve at Daly Green, which is the apartment block and mixed-use commercial district under construction currently on 10 acres fronting the Philadelphia Pike. So this goes to the internal roadways that are in that 10-acre parcel and per title.
Council, public comment. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call.
Mr. Ball, Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call is 12 yes, 1 absent.
R15-105 is approved. R15-106, I believe, Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President, I move that R15-106 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Resolution 15-106, adopting the Newcastle County Multi-Jurisdictional Air Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Mr. Street.
Yes, Mr. President, we had a presentation on this from our Director of Emergency Management this afternoon. It speaks for itself in terms of the title of the Multi-Jurisdictional All Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Council, public comment. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call.
Mr. Ball? Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 absent.
R15-106 is approved. We'll now hear ordinances. We'll start with ordinance 15-056. Mr. Street?
Yes, Mr. President, I move that ordinance number 15-056 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 15056, amending grants budget appropriate $90,500 from the State of Delaware Department of Justice Special Law Enforcement Assistance Fund SLEEF to the SLEEF 25 wearable cameras grant $64,300 and the SLEEF 20 taser weapons grant $26,200 for the Department of Public Safety.
Mr. Street.
Yes, Mr. President. This appropriates $64,000 for body cameras, and it provides 20 taser weapons under the grant for $26,000. There was discussion about this in Public Safety Committee meeting this afternoon.
Right, right. Council, public comment. Madam Clerk, please call.
Mr. Ball, Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Mr. Weta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tappet?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President DeRoe called those 12 yes, 1 absent.
Ordinance 15-056 is approved. Ordinance 15-057, Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, I request that ordinance 15-057 be read by title only.
Second.
Ordinance 15-057, to amend the rates of pay for unclassified employees of County Council and to revise the FY16 approved operating budget to appropriate $12,500 to County Council for salaries and wages.
Mr. Smiley.
Motion to table.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Ordinance 15-057 is tabled. Ordinance 15-058, Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, I request that Ordinance 15-058 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 15-058 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 14, Finance and Taxation regarding fiscal notes for proposed ordinances and resolutions.
Councilman.
Yes, Mr. President, this is adjust the code to provide said language, that information that should be provided in the fiscal note, and also provides that Council members should receive a fiscal note on legislation that they send to finance within 3 business days, or they may move forward without it.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Council, any comments or questions? Public comment. We have any public comment? Please sign in and... Okay.
Normally executive staff doesn't sign in, but that's fine.
Please come forward and state your name for the record, please. You have 3 minutes.
Yes, good evening, Mr. President, member of council. I'm here on behalf of the executive office, and we have some concerns with this legislation. If you go to the final phrase in this legislation, irrespective of the whereas clauses, at the end of the day, it's basically saying that if a fiscal note is not provided in 3 days...
For the record, Mr. Guy, please identify yourself.
Samuel Guy.
Thank you, sir. Please continue.
If it's not provided within 3 business days, then you can move forward without the fiscal note. But it also has some provisions that authorize obtaining fiscal notes from other sources. And then there's even some language in the final sentence that's very broad. But sitting that aside, what I want you to know is that this is almost a 40-year-old process, and it's not broken. There was a councilwoman, Mrs. Park, who put this in place in 1977, and in 1979 she made some amendments and required that the fiscal note be provided prior to introduction. Originally, it was prior to adoption. Also, Council Rule 2.3.2 requires new legislation to be submitted by the sponsor to the Department of Finance for a fiscal note 2 weeks prior to the council meeting during which it will be introduced. And so this legislation, if you're a member of council, according to council's rules, that's the time period that has already been established. And we did research, and we could not find any significant number of instances where a fiscal note wasn't turned around to a councilman within this 2-week period. That doesn't mean it never happened, but this is not something where every member of council here can say that under the Gordon administration their legislature didn't receive a fiscal note in accordance with this two-week implied time frame.
30 seconds, Mr. Guy.
Okay. So at the end of the day, 3 business days is absolutely, you almost could say that's impossible or unreasonable if the legislation has any significant substance to it. Most of you know that when you're developing a piece of legislation, it takes you more than 3 days to develop the body of the legislation itself. And so the administration is opposed to this legislation for the reasons that were just indicated.
Thank you, Mr. Guy.
Question.
Mr. Meyer.
Thank you. Mr. Guy, what's the current time period for which the Finance Department has to respond?
Okay. In the code, in the Newcastle County code, it just says one is required. It does not actually have a specific number of days. But in the rules of council, there's a section that has a timetable that's set out. If you go to your rules of council, there's something called sample notification and publication calendar. And in it, it specifies exactly when members of council do certain things in order to have a piece of legislation on the agenda. So those are the rules that council voted on and put in place to control the council agenda. The administration had nothing to do with that. And in those rules, it basically has the two-week rule. It's written right in your rules of council. So I would say 99% of the time, when folks honor the rules of council, when members of council honor the rules of council, then the turnaround happens within the two-week period. What we have is a multitude of occasions where folks will submit a piece of legislation either directly or through their staff as is permitted, and then they will say to us, we need a fiscal note, this is being introduced next week. Well, that request right in and of itself violates the rules of council and the timetable that's been established. And so when we're not able to turn it around that fast, then we have people complaining that we didn't turn it around fast enough, but it didn't. They're asking us to do something beyond the norm.
What would the administration feel would be a reasonable time if 3 days, business days, is not a reasonable time?
Well, we don't believe that there's anything broken. The rules of council has the timetable that we generally try to live by, and that is the two-week rule. They're supposed to have the legislation submitted 2 weeks prior to the date that they want to introduce it. What happens as a legislator, having been a legislator, is if I woke up, let's say 4 days ago, and I decided, hey, I want to hurry up and get a piece of legislation introduced today and voted on in 2 weeks, then now I have to ask people to provide me a fiscal note without them getting the benefit of the two-week grace period that they have. In fact, under the UDC code, there's a 14-day period that's already in the rules of council right into this, in the section that's next to this 12-day, this two-week rule. So that's my response to that question.
Councilmember Smiley, Councilmember Kiffin.
Yeah, I have another follow-up.
I'm sorry, you have a follow-up?
Yes.
Not Weiner.
The point you made about complicated finance legislation needing more than 3 days is a compelling point that I had considered. But if it's just an internal council rule, then it's not binding on a future administration, even granted the fact that the Gordon administration has abided by council rule. Would a version of this ordinance which parallels the council rule be appropriate given the fact that there may be other administrations that wouldn't follow that practice?
I guess that's possible. Might even be likely depending upon, you know, the circumstances. But what I would say to you is that, okay, a three-day rule, if I went and drafted a piece of legislation and gave it to anybody, and it was fairly complicated and just said you got 3 days to come up with a fiscal note, you should expect that you're not going to get a good quality fiscal note if it's something that has any degree of complication to it. So 3 days is absolutely unreasonable from the administration's perspective, but from the rule of council's perspective, your own rules, that I guess most members of council abide by this timetable. And that's how Betsy taught me about this timetable, where there's certain dates where certain things have to be done by in order to get the notice out and all of that kind of stuff. It's right there in the rules of council. And so you guys have already voted and put in place the rules, and you did it because you understood that you're giving a piece of legislation to another branch of government who had no idea that you were even drafting this piece of legislation, and you're giving it to them and you're asking them for a fiscal note. Now, when it's legislation where you're working with the administration, then they're working on a fiscal note while they're working on the legislation. But when people self-draft legislation, for example, and then they send it over and they want a fiscal note in 4 days or 7 days, they're violating the rules of council. People are supposed to have 2 weeks.
Mr. President, I would thank you for indulging me. And for the benefit of the sponsor, I've decided I'm not going to support in this current version, and the will of council is the will of council. I would support an ordinance which paralleled exactly what council rules are. For what it's worth, I just want to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner. Councilmember Smiley, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
I'll go to Councilmember Kilpatrick first, please.
Councilmember.
Thank you. Okay, I guess I'm just a little bit confused because you're quoting what our council rules are, and our council rules say that we should give this piece of legislation over to finance 2 weeks in advance of introduction. Is that correct?
New legislation shall be submitted by the sponsor or his or her legislative aide to the Department of Finance for a fiscal note 2 weeks prior to the council meeting during which it will be introduced. That's rule 2.3
so,
that we live by,
okay,
try to live by.
Okay, so there's nothing then that says, it says we have to give it to you 2 weeks before we want to introduce it, but there is nothing in the code at this point that says how long you can take to give it back to us.
Well, what we do is, first of all, what you said is absolutely correct. But what we do is we try to live by a rule that's in accord with this section. That doesn't mean that we always get it right, but this is what we try to use as our timetable. I guess the best thing I could do is if I had every council member put their hand up and found out how many members of council has had a piece of legislation that was held up because we couldn't get them a fiscal note in 2 weeks, I don't think there'd be a lot of council members with their hands up.
Because I remember, I'm thinking that I remember that a month or so ago, we voted, I thought, on a couple of pieces of legislation that did not have a fiscal note because they had not come back from finance. Am I correct?
If you're correct and you provide the ordinance number, then what we would do is we would look at the date of the request and we'd count the 2 weeks.
So
and then we determine, did you get a fiscal note during that time frame? And most of the time, that's provided.
So what would you, as an administration, if we were going to codify this, if we were not going to just say it's in council rules, but we were going to codify it so that the administration had to do it within a certain amount of time, what would you consider a reasonable amount of time?
Well, we consider what the council rules. We use that as our guide, as an implied time period. That's kind of because you all agreed to that. We try to live by that. And so, if you stuck with what you had, if you stuck with your rules and codified that, I mean, that wouldn't really be a problem. I mean, you know, that's reasonable. We've been able to do that.
2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's reasonable.
12 days or 14.
Huh?
Would that be, Mr. So President, like, I was just asking a question to the councilwoman. That's what I'm asking.
Ten working days?
It says two weeks prior to the council meeting during which it will be introduced.
That's within the legislation.
So if they
say in the legislation.
If you use your exact same language that's been in your rules of council for quite some time,
so
everybody knows what that means. There's actually a chart in the rules of council where they actually count out all of the days of council, and they have it set up where a person can look at the date and determine when it has to be in by.
So if we said 2 weeks, then you would, if we changed this from 3 days to 10 business days, you would then have to have it back to us. Then we would be putting you under a timeline, just like a rules of council put us under a timeline.
Well,
is that fair enough?
What I'm saying to you, what I know I'm authorized to say, is that where it says 2 weeks prior to the council meeting during which it will be introduced, we live by what you all say right now. And so we would welcome you sticking with what you've had in place for quite some time. And you all know exactly what that means. Betsy knows what it means as she's doing what she's doing in the chart. We know what it means. And it is just what it says. 2 weeks prior to the council meeting during which it will be introduced.
And if it doesn't come back within those 10 working days, then we have the right to bring it to council even without a fiscal note.
If that's what you all decide that you want to do. Now, keep in mind, there's a multitude of members of council. And so some council members, and I mean, we see what goes on over time. Some council members, you're working with them on their legislation, and so you have an opportunity to kind of get a head start thinking about their concerns with respect to fiscal notes. Then there's some where you just get something that drops in out of the clear blue sky, and nobody has to give you advance warning that it's coming. But when it drops in out of the clear blue sky, then you're starting at ground zero and haven't had any opportunity to think about it whatsoever. Now, some legislation is very simple. But at the end of the day, your rules of council, to me, were very reasonable, and that's what we try to live by.
So,
nobody's perfect, but that's what we try to live by.
Right. So if we amended this to say 10 business days versus 3 business days, we could put a floor amendment on that. And no,
if you make that amendment, you may have to amend the rules of council. If you use the exact same language, then everything is consistent.
And what is the exact same language? Can you read that to me again?
It says right there, 2 weeks prior to the council meeting during which it will be introduced.
What is the definition? Can I ask Betsy what the definition of 2 weeks prior is? Calendar week or 10 business days? How do we do 2 weeks prior?
Madam Clerk.
It's calendar week.
It's calendar week. That's so right. If I put it in on Tuesday the 9th, it should be back on Tuesday the 20 whatevers. So much creation.
You just got to add 10.
14 plus 9 would 10. Be 23, right?
Calendar week is how I.
Okay. So if we amended this to say 2 calendar weeks versus 3 days, you would be okay with that?
Yes, because we're okay with it as the rule. We've been trying to live by your rules of counsel as an implied time frame. We've kind of accepted it as the law, and like I say, nobody's perfect, but for the most part, you know, if every council member were to testify, I wouldn't expect that there's a lot of council members who have not been able to get their fiscal notes turned around in 2 week time period.
And I don't have the numbers on that. Maybe you do, but since you did the research, I don't. I'm just trying to get to the point of if we did a floor amendment on this and use the wording that is in the rules of council for that 2 weeks, then that codifies it and ties the administration to getting it back within those 2 weeks.
Well, I think the way you phrased it is what it does is it identifies the time frame within which you then would bypass it. That's what you said earlier. So we're supposed to get this,
so you either
get it back
to us
weeks,
or we get to bypass it.
That's correct. That's what I think you explained earlier. But we try to get them back within 2 weeks. So I would say, you know, 90-some percent of the time, that's what takes place. If somebody, you know, could identify a specific piece of legislation, we could look that up, but it's not going to be a whole lot of legislation that wasn't turned around in 2 weeks.
Any more discussion?
I'll go to the sponsor, I'm sorry, Mr. Street and Mr. Hollins.
And I don't have the rules in front of me, but in your comments, Mr. Guy, you said that you used the word sample in describing council rules. Where does the word sample fit into the rules that you're describing?
Okay. In the rules of council, if you go to rule 2.3.5, the title of that rule is called Sample Notification and Publication Calendar.
So, no need going further. If it says sample, it's just said it's a sample. It's not a rule, it's a sample of what's presented.
In this particular instance, what it is...
No, what does it say?
I'm reading you the title.
So, the title is sample.
The title is Sample Notification and Publication Calendar.
So, so arguably, if I want to interpret that title under exactly how it's written, and I'm saying this is a sample or could be an example, one could argue, say, that that's not it. But it's up to interpretation. At least I can give my interpretation of that.
Normally, I would agree with you, but in this
particular... But in this instance, because...
Because Betsy has the data on a calendar.
Okay, but it says sample. And I would respectfully represent to you that the word sample should not be taken lightly, and therefore, it's not a rule. And for 1%, Mr. President, it wasted 20 minutes of time negotiating something that should have been negotiated before we got here. Okay? And I'm going to go right back to the point I made 2 weeks ago. And that little picture up there on the wall, if we continue down this path as a council, okay, because what's happened here is you just got interrupted. You got a rule interpreted for us. And we're going, if we continue down this path, that little picture I painted two weeks ago, we will go down in history as being the weakest council in the history of this government.
Councilman Street, I will forward to you the rule. But what the rule is
you know what? You don't need, Mr. Guy, I'm trying to say this to you all due respect. The word sample to me, it's my interpretation, means just that. Sample. Now, you can interpret it the way you want to. I will interpret it the way I want to. It's a sample. It's not a rule, in my opinion. You said the word, not me. I don't have a rule in front of me. But that's my interpretation, and arguably, you can have yours, and I can have mine. I'm going back to the statement I made, Mr. President. What's the point of Mr. Time? Okay, there are rules, and then you let the other branch of government interpret all rules for us. This is the epitome of weakness.
What about his interpretation?
Mr. President?
No, Mr. Guy, I have two other council members who want to speak. Councilmember Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. President. I was wondering if Council to Council wanted to bring some clarity with regard to the rule. And if so, if we are going to contemplate legislation that is really in violation of the rule, then that is problematic. I think that there needs to be clarity about the timelines. If the rule says 2 weeks, or if in fact it's not the rule. If that is the rule, then I think the legislation should be consistent. Or is the legislation going to actually allow council to avoid or to omit that rule? Something has to be changed here to be consistent. I think legislation should be consistent with the rule, but there has to be clarity with the rule. With the council rule is that, as been expressed here tonight, that there should be a two-week notification to the Department of Finance prior to the introduction of the legislation. Is, in fact, that's the calendar rule.
Council.
Carol DeLynn, just to respond to your question, under state law, council is permitted to introduce legislation, any council member at any meeting. There are no constraints on that, including obtaining a fiscal note. County council, quite some time ago, adopted the language in the code requiring a fiscal note because they thought that was a prudent thing to do. The rules were changed under President Clark and Wendy Danner and voted upon by council. This was part of a number of rules that arguably or abrogated some of the power of county council. The sample that Mr. Guy is referring to is a month of scheduling, a sample month of scheduling. But certainly the rules can be changed, and in fact, this is one of a really quite large number of rules that have been proposed for change, and because of the press of business have not been, if in fact council decides to change the law.
I guess my question is, what is the current rule that we're currently operating under as relates to getting acquiring a fiscal note?
I don't have it. We have a law, and it's open-ended on acquiring the fiscal note. I don't have the rule in front of me, but the note from Betsy says that it's a sample month of scheduling.
I'm trying to validate the rule
here.
I
can go.
Excuse me, Ms. Councilman Holmes, may I respond, sir?
Thank you, sir.
Mr. President.
Yeah.
And this is for my fellow members of council. Despite, and I have a lot more to say, but I will wait till the appropriate time. Despite what's been inferred here, I have never, never violated the rules of council. The legislation before you tonight was submitted within the rules and guidelines of county council. The ruling here for the two-week submission prior to council meeting has nothing to do with the fiscal note. Fiscal note does not appear anywhere in our rules, but I assure you, every piece of legislation, including that which why we'll talk about here in a little bit, has been submitted within council rules guidelines, sir. I have not violated the rules.
Councilman Hollins?
Thank you, Councilman Smalley. I just want to certainly validate what the rule will state to date. And if, in fact, the rule is as is being presented by the administration, or is the rule something different than the administration is presenting here? Because this is where I think the conflict exists. We have a piece of legislation that says there will be 3 days, and what we're hearing from the administration is that if we were to abide by our own rules, if I'm understanding the administration correctly, then there would not be a problem. But at this point, the rule has not been validated by council to council. I guess that's why she left the room.
Well, let me tell you, this legislation before you tonight, your law, was introduced May 26th. So it was introduced 2 weeks ago. It was sent over before it was introduced. And you will note on the back, sir and fellow council members, there has been no fiscal note provided on this piece.
So this piece, Councilman Smalley, did meet the two-week requirement, is what you're saying?
It actually exceeded the two-week requirement.
Exceeded the two-week requirement, and you requested a fiscal note that
did
not.
And for one thing, we have to have that in order to meet the advertising deadlines for the secretary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Clerk, I'm sorry.
Councilman Redd, did you have your hand up?
Go ahead.
Okay. Councilmember Street and then Kilpatrick and Ryan in that order, please.
Well, I don't really want to go on. Well, I'm going to finish this. It really doesn't matter what the rule is. If we change the law to 3 days, it's our rule. We can change the rule to 3 days. There's nothing prohibiting that.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. So we have a rule of council, and it tells us when we need to send it over. However, there is no rule, no code, no nothing that says when the Department of Finance has to send it back.
Exactly.
Am I correct in assuming that? So what we are trying to do here tonight is to say how long is reasonable for the Department of Finance to put a fiscal note on something and send it back. We know we send it over 2 weeks in advance. That's not to say that they shouldn't get it back to us in enough time for us to evaluate it and say, well, I might not run this if it's going to cost us this much. Or to understand that, yes, this is fine, this is kind of what I thought, or that there's no fiscal impact at all. So it really has nothing to do with our rules of council,
right,
if I'm understanding that. That just tells us when we have to send it over. Now what we want to do is say, when do they have to send it back?
Exactly, but the responsibility runs both ways. We have a responsibility to get it to finance in a timely fashion. They have a responsibility to get it back to us in a timely fashion. You're absolutely correct. We're not speaking to them getting it back, except for in the legislation we're saying get it back to us in 3 days.
Right.
But we're not saying when we have to get it to them to respond within the 3 days. So both sides of the responsibility should be addressed.
But we already have it. We already are saying when we have to get it to them. We already, in our rules, say we have to get it to them 2 weeks prior to introduction.
That has not been validated. That's why the Council of the Council is going to make certain.
Oh, right. Okay.
So once that's validated, then we have a basis to move forward to determine, then when does it come back?
What's reasonable for them to send?
Exactly.
Got it.
Mr. President, if there's no, no further questions from Mr. Guy, could he be excused, please?
I have a further question.
I'm sorry.
It's my turn. When it's my
as counsel comes. Mr. Minor?
Yes. Mr. Guy, you were referring to Councilwoman Lois Parks' legislation from 1967 and then as amended under her sponsorship in 1969?
That's correct, 77 and 79.
77 and 79. So was this a rules amendment or was this a code amendment?
What she did is she amended the county code. And one of the amendments was for the fiscal note to be provided prior to introduction. Her original version in 1977 required the fiscal note to be provided prior to adoption. So she kind of moved the fiscal note process up a little earlier. And of course, the current code still says, which is what we live by, we're supposed to get it 2 weeks, during the 2 weeks in advance, and then we know that the fiscal note needs to be ready for the introduction at the meeting. At the council meeting. So there's an implied deadline that we know exists where we need to back the council.
So at some point that legislation may have been abrogated or removed, or is it still good law?
It's still in the code. The code still says the chief financial officer or his or her designated representative shall attach a fiscal note to each proposed ordinance and resolution prior to its introduction by county council. And then the two-week rule that council has adopted basically lets council know when they should submit it to the CFO, and then the CFO then knows when he needs to have it done by for purposes of introduction. So that's kind of how we try to take those two provisions in the code and in the rules of council to guide our behavior. So nobody's perfect, but as I said, I haven't seen any council member that put their hand up and said that their legislation was held up because we didn't get a fiscal note back to them. I heard one person mention something that sounded like that, but I haven't heard it. Is there's not a widespread problem that from our perspective that needs to be addressed. The system's not broken. People are getting their fiscal notes.
Thank you, Mr. Dow. Any follow-up?
Yes.
Mr. Miner.
Just a follow-up question to Carol and then an observation. Council to Council, would you validate what Mr. Guy is saying concerning the Lois Park law, if you can, still being the law of Newcastle County?
Carol Dolan, Council to Council. I can't speak to Lois Park or a particular person. However, the code does say that now, and has for some time, that a fiscal note will be appended prior to introduction. There's no deadline for council to ask for the note, and there's no deadline for the finance department to provide the note.
Is that our rules or the code?
That is the code. In the rules, during the complete rewrite of the rules, Mr. Guy is correct that there is a sample schedule, as pointed out by Mr. Street, but there also is a section of the rules that says 2 weeks before a council meeting, it binds council to give the request to the Department of Finance. It sets no time frame for finance to reply to council. So that is correct. And of course, like as the sponsor and others have stated, this is one of the rules that was proposed for changing. It certainly would be changed if the law changed. but that's what it states now.
Follow up. Council to council, if the rule were to go back to what I'll call the Lois Park 1979 rule, would that be consistent with what the intended rework of that would be? Or another way of saying it, is that reasonable as in being incumbent both on county council for 2 weeks to the finance department and then 2 weeks for finance department to develop a finance note?
Council? Carol Dillon, council to council. I don't comment on policy. That's not my role.
Yes.
However, that isn't what the law says. The law has no dates in it at all.
Okay.
It just says prior to it.
So this Lois Park law somewhere between 1979 and now may have been abrogated?
Council to council never had a time frame. The law does not have a time frame.
Okay. So, I understand. And Mr. President and members of council, given the complications of legislation, I think it would be a disservice to the citizens that we represent to encumber our finance department with a 3-day limitation to reply, because it only hurts the citizens and our treasury if the finance department is unable, and reasonably so, to respond with an appropriate fiscal note. And I could foresee a circumstance where a note comes from a source that may be biased or not knowledgeable, and we wouldn't be relying upon our finance department. So I would urge us to consider amending to be consistent with the rules that were in place before Danner and Clark amended the rules. If I could ask Carol Dillon to again describe what it was before they were changed.
Carol Dillon, council to council. I don't believe there was any time date in the rules previous to this. This was added by Ms. Danner under Mr. Clark and voted on by this council in the omnibus rules amendment.
I see. And, of course, omnibus now is a concern because it contains so much, as Mr. Tackett has said before. I'll again suggest respectfully to the sponsor and to my fellow council members that we consider amending this to put, whether it's 10 business days or 2 weeks, for council to give it to the finance department before introduction, and then 2 weeks to finance department to reply, or else we can go outside the department. And we've already heard from the administration's representative that that would be reasonable, and they comply with it 90% of the time as it is now.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. If there are no other questions for Mr. Guy.
Not for Mr. Guy, no.
Okay. Councilmember Retta, thank you, Mr. Guy. Councilmember Retta, Councilmember Hollis, they will move toward the vote from the sponsor. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I'd like an opportunity to speak before you vote, if you don't mind. We'll move to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the beginning of all the discussion, it was a little, the water was a little muddy. Now it's really muddy. Now you can't even understand half of it. Because I can't anyway, because it's all I can understand that the sponsor is doing. You're still bringing it to them 2 weeks ahead of time of introduction. The only thing he's doing is asking the finance department to bring it back 3 days, within 3 days, so you can go over this thing. I believe Councilwoman Kilpatrick said that. I just can't understand all the confusion on this. We're going back to 1970-something. Why? I mean, we're here to make the rules. Councilman Street said it. We can change the rules as we go, if we want. That's up to us. I mean, this is really ridiculous, of what we're doing now. Another 20 minutes, half hour, Mr. Street, on nothing?
Councilmember Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. The rules were read because there was a debate if the rules was actually the rule, and I think we just got within the last
2 minutes from council to council that that is, in fact, the rule of the day. Obviously, we change rules when we feel like it. We can change rules during a meeting. We can suspend the rules. But if we're dealing with legislation that is not consistent with the rules, then that becomes problematic, or at least a question. If we have a rule, as the council to council has confirmed, that we then submit to finance 2 weeks prior to, then if there's 3 days after 2 weeks, then I could understand that. But to say that we're not going to abide by the rule and just say 3 days, that's problematic for me. I think what Councilman Weiner is suggesting is that, well, we have the 2 weeks, then we add an additional 2 weeks. I don't think it takes four weeks to get a fiscal note return. If we're, in fact, following our own rules as the position that Mr. Guy has taken, then to Councilwoman Kilpatrick, point, I think, would add to what Councilman Smiley is trying to achieve, efficiency here, that if we abide by our rules, County Council submitted to Finance 2 weeks prior to the introduction. That gives the Finance Department 2 weeks. I don't think Finance needs an additional 2 weeks. Finance perhaps needs an additional 3 days, but not an additional 2 weeks. So if the rules are as has been validated here by council to council, then maybe we don't need the legislation if we're following the rules. If we're going to follow the rules, then there should be a time at the end of our rules on the administration part to get it back to us. We're trying to get it to them in a reasonable time frame. That's why we sent it 2 weeks prior to introduction. They should be a reasonable time frame to get it back to us to achieve what I think Councilman Smiley is trying to achieve.
Councilman Smiley.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay, first, I want to say to, as politely as I can to Councilman Weiner, I find it somewhat disingenuous when you refer to me that you'd like to make an amendment with all due respect, considering 2 minutes into an executive branch member's comments, you already noted that you weren't going to support it, and that's before you ever gave me an opportunity to speak. So, unfortunately, sir, it's quite clear. Your mind was pre-made, and I appreciate the fact that the executive told you what to do. Now I want to move forward, please. Council rules say nothing at all about the fiscal note. That's part of the problem. Now, let's be clear why we're here, other than me wanting to waste everyone's time, and I apologize for that. You heard the executive office representative. To start with, let me tell you, I'm very surprised by what we're going through tonight because I spoke with a member of the executive staff before this was ever introduced, which was 2 weeks ago, and I haven't had any comment back to me whatsoever. This was introduced 2 weeks ago. There's been no comment back to me whatsoever, including the required fiscal note, which there is none. Okay? Be very clear. We listened to what was said. Repeatedly, it was referred to a showing of hands of all of council. I bet the majority of you have not had an issue. I bet everyone on council has not. I bet 90% have not. Well, you know, you're right. This is about Councilman Smiley today. Maybe next week it's about Councilman Sheldon. Maybe the following week it's about Councilman Hollins. Maybe the next week it's about Councilman Tackett. During the budget process and those committee hearings, I repeatedly raised issues. I had legislation on the agenda 6 weeks old that did not have a fiscal note. 4 weeks old that did not have. I had not had a fiscal note attached to my legislation since I started asking for information from the executive branch and they didn't want to bring it and I refused to knuckle under. I have not had a fiscal note. Now, if I want to lay in line and just do the executive branch legislation, I can get fiscal notes all day long. So can everyone else on council. That's not what I'm here for. I'm a separate part of government. When they send over the finance legislation, they've got no problem with a fiscal note. Let's show how indicative it is or has been recently of the administration. I submitted a piece of legislation well in advance to create a line for assessment funds.
It should be a reasonable time.
Never got a fiscal note in 4 weeks. What would that fiscal note be? My 12th grade education says no discernible fiscal impact because all you're doing is establishing a line. Never got a fiscal note. I put out a piece of legislation to transfer $20 million from the reserve account to that account. 4 weeks. Never got a fiscal note. My illiterate education, I believe that would have said it would reduce the reserve account by $20 million and increase this new account by $20 million. No fiscal note. That's how ridiculous this has gotten. And for us to be told, quite honestly, all of you don't have a problem. Well, you know what? He's damn right. Today you all don't. But next week you might. So support what you want to support, but either we're an independent body and we have a right to a turnaround, or we don't. It's as simple as that. But I introduced legislation without fiscal note. I brought it forward without fiscal note. How concerned is the administration about fiscal note? Not once did anybody walk up to that podium and object to it. And it wasn't hidden, it wasn't a secret, and I didn't sneak it in under cover of darkness like I've been accused of things before. I've been wide open. Not one fiscal note to one piece of my legislation since I started asking questions. So don't give me a fiscal note, but I'm not going to shut up and I'm not going to quit looking at the finances of this county. The will of council be the will of council.
Thank you, Councilman. I hear from Mr. Weiner, then we'll call for the vote.
I think Mr. Smiley makes a good point, and so does Ms. Kilpatrick. There should have been dialogue on the part of the administration with us at the executive committee meeting when we discussed this, or finance committee. Having said that, I think it's, as the expression goes, it's cutting off our nose to spite our face if we do a disservice to the taxpayers by unduly burdening our finance department to come up with a complicated fiscal note within 3 days. So I'm going to make a motion that we amend the 3 days to 2 weeks consistent with our own council rules. It doesn't
Mr. Smiley, no, it does not say that. Mr. Smiley?
It's already, you got to do 2 weeks ahead of
time.
I want to make a clarification. This does not prevent the finance department from submitting a fiscal note post three day time.
Yep.
That being said, if I may, Councilman Warner, I would offer an oral amendment to ordinance number 15-058 that it will read, a council member may proceed to introduction of legislation without a fiscal note if such note is not received within 10 business days.
Mr. President.
Is there a second on the motion?
Second. Mr. President, I'd like to speak in favor of the amendment.
Please, sir, quickly.
Thank you. I think that serves the taxpayers well. I think it creates statutorily a duty that incumbent upon the administration, and we will be doing by our citizens.
Thank you. Mr. Smiley,
and in closing, I'm going to say this to everybody. It also will do the taxpayers well today, tomorrow, and in the future if one would listen to the full debate before they decide how to vote it. Call for the vote, please.
I'd like to call on the amendment first, point of order.
Call for the vote on the amendment.
Mr. Bell? Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cardia?
Yes.
Ms. Dillard?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Lord, yes.
Yes.
Sorry if I took up your valuable time on other than the executive branch legislation.
Still calling for the vote. Continue, clerk.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 absent.
Ordinance 15-05, it is approved.
Just the amendment.
Just the amendment.
Mr. President, I will call for the vote on ordinance number 15-058 as amended.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell? Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cardia?
Yes.
Ms. Dillard?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 out.
Ordinance 15-058 is approved as amended. Thank you for that healthy and robust discussion.
More to come.
Ordinance 15-025, Mr. Smiley.
Remains on the table.
Well, second.
Yeah, please, thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ordinance 15-25 is tabled. Item J, R15-108, Mr. Powers. You have 107?
Yeah, 108 goes first.
Yeah.
I guess Ruby forgot.
You got it, Council?
Resolution 15-108.
Are we doing 107 first?
No.
Eight.
You read by title only and placed on the case before Council for consideration and adoption.
Second. Resolution 15-108, honoring Julie Johnson for outstanding contributions to the Appaquinimink Board of Education.
Powers.
Julie Johnson has been 7-8 years on the Appaquinimink Board. Tonight they're having a thing for her. This is Representative Quinn Johnson's wife, and that's what it is.
Thank you, Council. Any Council comments or questions from Council? Any public comment? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call.
Mr. Bell, Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Tiller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Weta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smalley?
Without debate, yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Viner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 absent.
R15-108 is approved. Anything on item K? Seeing none, agenda item L, R15-107, that's new.
Good.
I like 1507 placed before Council for its consideration and approval.
Second. Resolution 15-107, supporting Delaware Senate Bill Number 83, expanding protections for domestic abuse victims.
Proposal. Any comments or questions from Council? Mr. Smiley.
Yeah, I do. And I got to tell you, I wasn't sure I was going to support this, but based on the feel, where I feel right now, I think maybe I should. I don't know if everyone got a chance to look, but just so you're aware, because this didn't come out till late last night, and then I pulled everything off the internet that I could find on the legislation. Also contacted Senator Henry, got a response back from the Senate House Attorney. And what this does is, if someone is served with a protection from abuse order, they're required to either immediately turn over any weapons that they had to the officer that's giving them the paperwork, or either turn the weapons in within 24 hours or turn in a document that clarifies who has possession of them and the fact that they can't get to them anymore. So part of my concern was I wanted to know whether there was a possibility that they could basically transfer ownership while in the position of the police, because the police also have a right to designate a storage fee. And the answer to that was yes. And to be very honest with you, my concern was, I've seen this at some of the police where they've shown the drugs and weapons. And as someone who used to be an avid hunter and had friends who do collections, you know, some people don't see guns as having historic value, but some do, and you hate to see them be destroyed, and that's what happens if someone doesn't recover them. So that's what it does. It basically puts a very quick timeline on the person having a PFA put against them from turning their weapons over to the police for storage.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Any other comments or questions? Public comment. Mr. Hollings.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before we adjourn, I certainly am very grateful to council members, to our staff for the kindness that was expressed to me on the loss of my brother. Who
Mr. Hollings, excuse me, sir. I need to vote on it. We need to pass.
I'm sorry.
Yes. I appreciate the try.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Weta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yeah.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
So the roll call bill is 12 yes, 1
absent. R15-107 is approved. Mr. Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sorry I jumped in before the vote was taken, but I wanted to make certain that before we called for the adjournment tonight, that I expressed my appreciation to council members as well as our staff for the kindness expressed to me during the loss of my brother a couple of weeks ago with the cards and the phone calls as well as the flowers. So I just wanted to want to know that I'm very grateful for their support.
Thank you. Anything else on the other? Mr. Street, I see your hand.
I just, you know, we passed the budget and we got shootings almost every day. We got people sleeping on the street. We got a ridiculously high rate of unemployment. And we sat here and wasted half an hour in essentially a power play and a power struggle. And I understand separation of branches, but, you know, at some point in time, somebody's got to come forward with some leadership. And in my view, we would all benefit immensely if we went back to at least, even it has to be less than seven, so-called leadership meeting with the executive branch, because as a government, we just can't continue to go down this road. I think it's irresponsible. It's to the point where it's becoming irrational. And I would like to see, quite frankly, you, Mr. President, and the county exec, come forward with some leadership and at least make a good faith effort to make this foolishness go away. We have more responsibility than that. So that's my plea to you, my plea to him, and I hope that you and my colleagues on council will consider it, because I think it's given the responsibility that we all have, I think it's ridiculous, and quite frankly, I think the public is tired of hearing about it and seeing it.
Mr. Smiley.
Councilman Street, I cannot agree more, but I tell you here tonight, I am all out of olive branches, sir.
And I'll add in my comment that I've reached out a number of times, and the privilege was not extended back.
For the motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much.